Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, we have made it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a two-week journey, but we have reached the conclusion, the final four of the Evan and Tiki Top 20. The top 20 draft picks over the last 50 years, brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. And it has been quite a road to get here. Remember, you the people voted on this a few weeks ago at WFAN.com/draft, and then there was a panel. We still don't know who was on the panel of dignitaries, but between the people's votes and the dignitaries' votes, that's how we formed the top 20. Before we unveil the final four guys, let me remind you, number 20 was Phil Simms. Number 19 was Don Mattingly. Number 18 was Tiki Barber. Number 17 was David Wright. Number 16, Brian Leach. Number 15, Clark Gillies. Number 14, Daryl Strawberry. Number 13, Doc Gooden. Number 12, Mike Bossy. Number 11, Brian Trottier. Number 10, Henrik Lundqvist. Number 9, Martin Brodeur. Number 8, little swerve, Roger Clemens, drafted by the New York Mets. Number 7, Michael Strahan. Number 6, Joe Klecko.
Terrible.
Number 5, Darrell Revis. Ladies and gentlemen, number 4!
Number 4. With the first pick in the first round of the 2004 NFL Draft, the New York Giants have acquired the pick belonging to Eli Manning, Mississippi.
Manning out of the shotgun, sat, and he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. The officials say he got his feet in at the Patriot at midfield.
Wow.
Whoa. He wasn't drafted by the New York Giants.
This is unique because he was on by proxy. So we know how this trade went down. They didn't actually trade picks. The San Diego Chargers drafted Eli Manning on behalf of the New York Giants, and the Giants on behalf of the San Diego Padres drafted Phillip Rivers, and then they flipped.
I mean, come on.
It was draft by proxy.
Yeah, dude, they didn't draft him.
No, dude. Eli Manning stands up there on the podium holding a New York Giants jersey, taking a draft day picture with the number one. He has the draft day at the podium picture.
No.
He is their draft
pick. That's not entirely true. When he was drafted, in fact, wait a second. I got the evidence.
Go ahead.
Play it.
With the first choice in the 2004 NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers select Eli Manning, quarterback, Mississippi.
Are we doing a San Diego countdown or are we doing a New York countdown?
No. And by the way, get rid of any NBA pick that was on this list then, because the NBA actually goes forward and having these dopes wear hats.
Well, hold on. Right.
When they do that.
Hold on a second. So far, we haven't had a lot of NBA players on this list.
I think
we're about to get one if the panel didn't screw up.
I'm just saying.
And there's no caveat to that. Like, look, I love Eli.
He
we all respect Eli.
He was drafted by the Giants via proxy.
He wasn't drafted
he
by
was.
The Giants.
Everybody knew it. And by the way, I don't remember. Why didn't they just trade the picks?
They were right at the finish line of figuring out the trade.
Because the Chargers wanted to draft Eli Manning.
No.
Eli Manning and his father pushed them towards, we're not going to play. It was a standoff.
Well, so what happened? I don't remember the details of this.
Evan is, for the most part, right.
Thank you.
Archie did not want Eli to play for the Chargers.
Yes.
The Chargers knew that Eli was not going to play for them. Now, he may be right in that the Chargers, we know we're about to trade this pick anyway, but just to make you suffer, you're going to have to sit out there and hear your name called by the Chargers.
Yeah, but what did the Chargers get?
They got the next first-round pick the next year. The Giants had to take Phillip Rivers.
Sean Merriman.
They ended up with the pick that became Nate Kading, the kicker.
Yep. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yes. All of that. So I forget what else they got. It was a fellow first. But
why didn't they just do it and let the Giants make the draft pick?
Because they didn't want to trade. They wanted Eli Manning. They got pressured into the trade.
And there were fine details that got hammered out in that last time. It was working up until literally the last minute.
More on this in a few minutes. We'll debate this because I think you guys are wrong. But we owe it to the next three guys to have their names called in the New York Top 20. So, ladies and gentlemen, Eli Manning's number four. Who's number three?
Number three. With the sixth pick in the first round of the 1992 MLB draft, the New York Yankees select Derek Jeter, Central High School, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
1-2 to Nixon. And Sturt Steele swung on and popped up. In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it. He raced, he caught it, and to break the... And boy, did he get beat up. He is beat up and bloody in his face. What a play by Jeter, a running catch, and to break his momentum, he dove into the photographer's area, and he's got a cut-up face as he, what a player, Derek Jeter, what a player. You can't say enough about him. What is he? He's a winner. That's what he is. He's a flat-out winner.
That's one of my favorite calls. Hey, no argument with Derek Jeter. I guess the argument would be, why three?
Why is he three?
Yeah. He should be higher.
Five-time world champion, the only captain of a team drafted five times. Yeah, I'm anxious to see the next two.
Let's see the next two, and then we can digest. Let's get to number two.
Number two. With the first pick in the first round of the 1985 NBA draft, the New York Knicks select Patrick Ewing, Georgetown.
Ewing with the pick. Here's Starks.
You know what that was? That was the game winner in 94. That sent the New York Knicks to the NBA Finals back 30 years ago in 1994. Don't give me that look, because I can see it in Sean's eyes.
Sean? What are you going to disrespect the big man?
All I'm saying is baseball's Michael Jordan loses out to a guy who couldn't beat Michael Jordan.
First of all, I mean, that's ridiculous. Derek Jeter is not baseball's Michael Jordan.
In terms of champions era, yes, he is.
It's a hard conversation because you don't want to disparage the captain.
Of course.
At all.
I'm not disparaging the captain, but I'm going to say this as an independent basketball observer, because the one thing I've always been loyal to is defending Patrick Ewing, because I think he was treated horribly by Knicks fans during his time. Whether it's posters being thrown up, whether it's talk on this radio station about him being overrated, Patrick Ewing was a blessing to our city. It was a blessing. And yeah, were the Knicks lucky? Yeah, was the lottery fixed? Who the hell cares? Patrick Ewing defined a generation for the New York Knicks. And while they didn't win an NBA championship, I get that, they're nothing without him. Nothing! I could argue, while the Yankees may not be a dynasty, they were still pretty damn good without Derek Jeter, if Derek Jeter didn't exist.
So if Derek Jeter had never been drafted and there was some replacement player, then the Yankees probably win still a few of those championships.
I think they're still very, very good. I can't say they win every championship.
That's a hard.
If we're making this case for Ewing, it goes back to major flaws throughout the list, including then, why isn't Henrik Lundqvist higher than Martin Brodeur?
Oh, stop it, because Marty was better.
Henrik Lundqvist is Patrick Ewing. Brodeur, the same guy.
No, hold on. Marty Brodeur was better than Henrik Lundqvist.
And Derek Jeter was better than Patrick Ewing.
Was he?
Yes.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
You're comparing it to Patrick Ewing, one of the great big men of all time. You act
Derek
like he's some ball.
Great shortstops of all time.
Okay, great. Good for him. Good for him.
Good for him. When did you become Mr. Great, Nick, by
great,
the way?
Great winner. Great. One of the greatest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Winners in the history of baseball.
Okay.
Derek Jeter.
Okay. That's fine.
He was a great player, too, not just a winner.
No one's saying he wasn't a great player, but I understand why Patrick Ewing finished ahead of him. Anyhow, let's anoint our king, number one.
Number one. With the second pick in the first round of the 1981 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Lawrence Taylor, North Carolina.
Sims lines up on the right side. They've got King on the left side as a running back. Danielson looking in, zone for a pass. He's looking for King, intercepted. He's going to go down the right side. Lawrence Taylor to the 20, 30, down to the 40. He might go all the way. He's going to go in. There's a flag down. But he's going the length of the football field into the end zone. There is a flag down. And Taylor's going to have to come back. It's not coming back. It's not coming back. They waved it off. Hot dog.
Hot dog. Are we all good with LT being our king?
Dude, there's not even a question. He's the best player drafted by the New York Giants in their history. And he's just, he changed the game. We all know it. And I believe in that game, that specific game, Detroit, didn't he have a separated shoulder or something? I remember him being hurt in that game, and he helped set up or scored every point that the Giants scored in that game.
Yeah,
it was,
to go
it
back
was a
the
tight
injury,
game. Yeah. It was like a 10-9 game or something like that.
I was 6 years old, but yeah.
I don't remember. But I remember the lore of that, of one of those Detroit Lions game where LT basically did everything.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I know we fight over different things, like fighting over
this
Eli Manning being a draft
about.
Pick.
This one's impossible to fight about.
Fighting over Ewing versus Jeter.
Can't fight over this one.
I don't think one can fight over this. Lawrence Taylor, say what you want about him off the field. Let's talk about on the field, because that's what this is about. On the field, Lawrence Taylor may have been the most dominant player in the history of New York sports. Yeah. That is who he is. And so I think when you compile a list like this, I think the fans got it right.
Uh-huh.
I think that the Committee of Dignitaries got it right.
Good job, Joe.
Now,
Beningo.
Speaking of the Committee of Dignitaries, I have just been handed a note that I'm very surprised about concerning the Patrick Ewing, Derek Jeter debate. Mm. I have been told that it was actually split, that the fans went one way and the dignitaries went another way.
Interesting.
And that the fans won out because they wanted Ewing ahead of Derek
Jeter. So that's Nick's recency bias.
Recency bias?
No, that Nick fans are all in a stir about feeling in their feels about the 90s Nick.
They're taken back to 94.
So, yeah, so they were voting at the same time
that
to get in charge of the playoffs.
Okay, here's why you're so full of crap.
I mean,
the voting was 2 weeks ago when the Yankees were dudes and dogs, too. And Yankee fans were pumped up. And Knicks fans, sure, they're pumped up as well.
I would bet that the enthusiasm for the Knicks was higher than the Yankees. At the Yankees beginning of the season, Knicks driving towards the postseason.
Yeah, but I don't even think that has anything to do with why people voted for him. I think the reason why people voted for Patrick Ewing and appreciate Patrick Ewing, and by the way, you guys can say this is unfair, but I think this is a part of it, is I think looking back on history, they realize how important he was. They realize that the 90s Knicks, which so many people talk glowingly about, doesn't exist without Patrick Ewing. They don't exist. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that pick, whether lucky or not, whether fixed or not, was one of the most consequential picks in the history of New York sports.
Do you think anybody will ever tell us if it was actually fixed?
No, I think that
somebody on their deathbed is going to say, you know what? The ball was frozen.
No, David Stern never told us, and he ain't around anymore.
Yeah, but it had to be somebody else.
Nah, he's
the guy. It was fixed. It wasn't just David Stern, right? It had to be more than one person. It's not like he was putting the balls in the whatever the lottery.
Nah, he was the czar. He was the guy.
But somebody stuck the envelope in a freezer.
Exactly. Somebody had to do it.
You know, if it hasn't come out yet, do you ever think it will? Don't you think it's one of those secrets that just die?
No, because it's not that long ago. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
It's starting to get there, man.
Patrick Ewing's what, 60? So it's not like Patrick Ewing is getting ready to, you know, whatever, go into retirement and do nothing, sit on his couch and read the paper all day, right? It's Patrick Ewing's still youngish.
You know, it's one of those things where let's say the conspiracy came out and it was confirmed. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's already happened.
Yeah, but don't you just want to know?
No. I think sometimes the mystery is better than the result.
The assumption. You just assume that it's real.
I it's one of those things where all these years later, it doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't even really matter anymore.
Yeah.
I think overall, the committee and the fans, and I repeat, I had nothing to do with this. I didn't rank this. So every time Sean gets upset, understand it ain't at me. I think for the most part, they did a really, really good job. I think they got it right. I think Lawrence Taylor should be that consensus greatest draft pick of the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I think that one's easy. I think that's an easy one. And I understand Ewing over Jeter. I really do. I think you're just being biased, Sean.
Talking about a five-time world champion, the Yankee captain drafted here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Ewing, it's not even a disrespect.
It is disrespectful.
We're talking about five championships versus no championships, and the star and catalyst of all of it is Derek freaking Jeter.
You are being disrespectful because I'm not a Yankee fan, nor am I a Knicks fan. So maybe I'm sort of qualified, right? I have no emotions to either guy. And I'm just telling you, you're shortchanging the importance of Patrick Ewing.
If you're flip-flopping on one and going two or three, it's not shortchanging it. Think about what this list has done over the last couple of weeks. It has told us that David Wright is better than Don Mattingly, that Patrick Ewing is more important than Derek freaking Jeter, and Andy Pettit drafted in the 74th round doesn't belong on the list. This list reeks of Yankee hatred.
Yankee hatred?
No team over the last 50 years has given us more to cheer about than the New York Yankees.
The people.
And we basically pulled down the pants and did a you-know-what on it.
Stop it.
Come on. The guy
was third overall. He did well. I'm sure if Jeter was out there right now, he'd appreciate where he finished.
But you see where the arguments went? Guys who didn't win championships, we use that against them in their ranking, and yet we're not counting that for Ewing and putting him over Derek Jeter.
No. Here's your problem, okay? Marty Brodeur is better than Henrik Lundqvist. He didn't need three Stanley Cups to have him finish ahead of Henrik.
Lundqvist is on the devil teams with those traps, what is it?
He wasn't on those devil teams with that trap.
And Ewing wasn't on the Yankees.
And Howie Rose, who I think you trust, and by the way, a Ranger fan, said it. Stop with the neutral zone trap. You still have to block the shots. Like, Marty Brodeur, he was a better player than Henrik Lundqvist. Get over it, dude.
So then why isn't Brodeur ahead of Ewing, then? Because Ewing and Lundqvist are the same player of their sport.
I can't answer why.
Because Patrick Ewing was the face of an entire franchise for a generation.
Maybe
so was Don longer. Mattingly.
You're going all over the place. One at
what
a time.
Stop.
Don Mattingly has to buy a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame.
A generation?
For a lot, yes. You worked next to somebody from that generation for a long time.
It wasn't a great generation.
But Sean, he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to demote him or you or anyone
else about that.
I'm talking about Mattingly.
You're all over the place.
You're arguing 18 different things.
My point is the arguments you're using for Ewing have been used to downgrade other people on the list. When you come down to simplifying it, Derek Jeter, five-time world champion Yankee captain of the same era, has to be above Patrick Ewing one slot. Has to.
I don't know. During his prime, he was the third best shortstop in the American League behind both Alex Rodriguez and Nomar Garcia Parra.
And Miguel Tejada and A-Rod.
Why don't you just add Omar Vizquel to that list?
A-Rod was A-Rod, right?
Yeah. Can we get back, though, to the Eli Manning crap? I mean, he wasn't drafted. I disagree with the committee on this one. And you guys, like, I get the sentiment of it. And this is the anniversary, happy anniversary. Come on.
20 years ago today.
Yeah.
Crazy as
it's almost like this was done on purpose.
Right.
who would plan something out like that?
Did the San Diego Chargers believe that Eli Manning was ever going to take a snap for them? The answer is no. They knew that he was not. because Archie Manning told him so. And so they drafted Eli Manning on behalf of the New York Giants. And then what if the Giants had taken, who was somebody else in that draft?
Well, they liked Ben Roethlisberger.
They were going to take Ben Roethlisberger.
Forget Ben.
They were not taking
Robert Gallery, the offensive lineman.
What if the Giants had taken Robert Gallery
mm-hmm.
and then said, all right, now you want to trade us for this guy?
But I don't understand your point that because they
Chargers
knew.
The Chargers wanted a quarterback.
Yes.
And they wanted
Phillip Rivers.
They wanted
Eli Manning. They knew they couldn't get him, their backup was Phillip Rivers.
Right. So the Giants or the Chargers draft Eli Manning, right? And then they send him to the Giants. What if the Giants had taken Robert Gallery, right? Would that deal have happened?
No.
Exactly. So you know that they were in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, but what?
No,
Tiki's
no,
right.
No,
that's why it is the Giants pick. Yes.
The Giants, if they wanted Eli or they wanted Phillip Rivers or they wanted Ben Roethlisberger, they could have easily taken anybody else that the Chargers didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
They worked together to draft by proxy for each other.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a technicality.
No, but here's where
Eli was drafted by the Giants.
Here's where I slightly disagree with you.
By the Chargers.
Okay. The San Diego Chargers wanted Eli Manning. Eli's father, Archie, mm-hmm. said, hey, look, he ain't going to play. He's going to sit out a year.
Yes.
The Chargers, much like the Baltimore Colts a couple of decades earlier, had a choice. They could have called his bluff. They could have said, you know what? We're going to draft you. We're going to dare you to sit out. The Chargers drafted him. As you heard, we played the clip. The Chargers have drafted Eli Manning. And then they made a decision. And that decision was, do we want to do this? Or is there a trade out there? Because Eli Manning never specifically demanded the New York Giants. That came out that he preferred New York. Mm-hmm. But Eli's words, I just didn't want to play for that organization. He actually said that, by the way.
Wow.
Now, we still don't know for sure why. And I think that's a great question. Why was Eli Manning so set against being with the San Diego Chargers?
I'm sure it had something to do with the Spanos.
Okay. And by the way, fair game if that was.
Yeah.
But Eli specifically said, it's that I don't want to be there. So the Chargers had to make a decision. Their decision ultimately was, you know what? Screw it. Let's trade him. The Giants, who wanted him, of course, he made it clear. And he even said it. I watched this documentary recently. He said to the GM of the Chargers, I forget his name at the moment, I didn't know him that well, but I told him, if you're thinking about moving the pick, let us know we're in. So the Giants probably said, we really want Eli. We know Phillip Rivers is number one on their board. And it was a staring contest.
Right. A.J. Smith.
A.J. Smith. So when the Chargers drafted him, we didn't know for sure he was going to be traded to the Giants.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't because they wanted Eli Manning.
But it happened immediately.
Because they looked at the stare down and said, you know what? F it. Let's get the hell out and let's make the trade. And they made the trade.
He held up a Giants jersey.
He held up a Charger jersey. Why don't you guys look that up?
Yes, and then he held up the Giants jersey. The Giants were taking Ben Roethlisberger if the deal wasn't agreed upon by the time the Giants were on the clock.
Did Eli Manning hold up a Charger jersey?
Yes, he did. Did he hold up a Giants jersey?
But hold on. I didn't ask that one. Did he hold up a Charger jersey?
You're a bad lawyer.
Yes, he did. Okay. It was a Charger.
No.
I rest my case.
Evan, when the Giants
were drafted by the freaking Chargers,
the idea is Giants pick. When the Giants got on the... This is the end all be all. When the Giants got on the clock at 4, if there was no deal agreed upon, they were drafting Ben Roethlisberger. They didn't because the deal was agreed upon, making Eli Manning the Giants pick in that spot at 4.
Right.
You guys are nuts.
Mm.
And frankly, him behind Ewing is a disgrace.
we got two Giants in the top 4.
I mean, seriously.
Dude, you can't say that about Eli. Again, you had the two great runs. You beat Brady and Belichick twice. But if you're talking regular season, Eli Manning was and I'm saying this as a huge Giant fan, a mediocre quarterback. He was.
Wow, yeah.
He had two great runs, but he was just a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
He's not ahead of Patrick Ewing.
Patrick. Patrick's an all-time great in the NBA. He should have won multiple championships, Patrick, and Jeter should be ahead of him. But come on. Come on.
Look, I think what Lugie has shown, I respect. I have shown. Tiki has shown. But Sean hasn't developed the ability to show is taking his teams aside to showing no bias. Like, you just have a bias. You're a fanboy of the Giants. You're a fanboy of the Yankees. You don't like the Knicks. And so you can't. Like, I give Lugie credit. Lugie hates the Yankees more than life itself.
And I hate Derek Jeter more than any other player in the history of sports.
And look, we have a disagreement, but at least I respect where you're coming from. He puts Jeter ahead of Ewing.
I do.
Okay. You I love you, bro. I do. You do a great job, and even Jack GPT thinks you're a good talk show host. But you're a biased look, MF-er.
Evan, I'm also, and Lou Gower, this is where Lou Gower's comments are a disgrace as a Knick Giant fan. As great, and you're making me besmirch Patrick Mewin. Eli Manning mediocre in the regular season.
Middle of the road quarterback. He
retired.
Is.
Retired. Top 10 all time in touchdown passes. Top 10 all time in passing yards. Sean. Patrick Ewing did not retire top 10 rebounds all time or points all time in the NBA. That doesn't matter?
Right. Is Patrick Ewing a top 10 center in the history of the NBA? The answer is probably yes.
Yes.
Get out of here. Francisco Lindor, 2-run home run, 2-0 Mets. Patrick Ewing's a top 10 center in the NBA, correct? In NBA history?
Yes. Wait, look, we got
Wilt, we got Kareem, we got Russell, Shaq, we got Shaq.
We're not making Ewing out to stink.
Okay. Is Eli Manning a top 10 quarterback in the history of football?
No, but that's apples to oranges.
No. It's not a no.
It's a much harder pool to crack.
He wasn't top 10 when he was playing.
But he finished top 10 in all the statistics.
And all the stats, and Ewing did not as an NBA player.
So it's just how you want to see it. It all depends on how you want to see it. Because production matters.
No, of course.
The reason that the Giants weren't always great was not always Eli's fault.
And I totally agree with you. Look, I think what is making this difficult for Shawnee, who I love, is that I am looking at this final four of LT number one, Ewing number two, Jeter number three, Eli number four, with completely unbiased eyes. I don't root for any of these teams. Like, think about who my top guy was.
Obviously, you'd be a lot happier today.
Oh, I understand. I'd be a different human being. I'd be a different person. I don't root for any of these teams. So I'm giving you just an independent view of this. And you could disagree with my independent view, but you are shortchanging the impact that Patrick Ewing had on this town. Let's get to a couple of phone calls, including Mike in Madison. What's up, Mike?
Evan, please, yeah. I have to read this to you, and you can't disagree with
me. Go ahead. Good. That's fine.
Derek Jeter, more hits than Willie Mays. Higher batting average than Hank Aaron. Higher on base percentage than Pete Rose. More gold gloves than Cal Ripken Jr. Most postseason hits of all time. Patrick Ewing missed a finger roll for a championship. Derek Jeter. Wait, hold on. Derek Jeter, for his 3,000th hit, was a home run.
Who cares?
It's not even questioned that Derek Jeter has
to be a watch this.
Hit.
I want to respond to you, Mike.
Wait. Give me one more thing.
One more thing.
And
go ahead.
For Shawnee, listen. Martin Brodeur. Probably the best goalie in the history of hockey, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
I'm putting him above Patrick.
We got to go, Mike.
Honestly.
No, that's fine. And look, maybe there was an anti-hockey bias in this whole thing. Maybe it's the voting.
But there was hockey players in it. There was four hockey players.
No, what are you talking about? What I mean is none of them were in the top eight. And look, Marty Brodeur was the top hockey player. Okay, if you look back at this list, which I'm sure social media put out soon, I'll put it out soon. If you rank the hockey players that made this list, it was Brodeur number one. Lundqvist number two, which, by the way, I disagree with. But okay, you got your little cookie. Then it was Trottier. Then it was Bossy. Then it was Gillies. Then it was Leach. All right? So hockey was represented at Tiki.
Yeah.
I think that the top eight, it wasn't represented.
No.
And I understand if you believe Marty Brodeur is the greatest goaltender of all time, which he's in the conversation, you can certainly argue, how the hell is he not number one or number two on this list? I get that. But I have a retort to the whole Jeter Ewing thing. You may not like this, Tiki, I'm just being fair. I asked ChatGPT.
Okay.
Oh, enough with this clown.
I said to ChatGPT, who is the greatest draft pick in the history of New York sports? And I'm not even kidding. They ranked it. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Number one, Lawrence Taylor. Okay. By the way, how about that?
Right.
Lawrence Taylor, widely regarded as one of the greatest defensive players in NFL history. Lawrence Taylor was selected by the New York Giants, as I said. He revolutionized the linebacker position and was a key player in the Giants' two Super Bowl victories. I think we all agree. Got it right. Number two was Patrick Ewing. Number three, Derek Jeter. Anyhow, joining us right now, the king himself. The man who earned it. This is the one thing none of us are debating because he is the greatest draft pick in New York sports history over the last 50 years. We present to you Lawrence Taylor.
LT. How you guys doing?
We're great.
What's going on?
We're good, man.
Congratulations.
Okay. Yeah, congratulations, thank you. Lawrence.
On what?
We'll tell you.
On what?
We'll tell you. So we did a top 20 draft picks in the history or in the last 50 years, but it could be history as well. Of all New York sports, the top draft picks, and you were voted number one.
Wow. Imagine that. Okay.
You say that like you expected me number one.
So how you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, we're good, man.
If we told you, hey, Lawrence, we did this whole thing, and Derek Jeter was number one, and you were number two, would you basically say...
Any sport?
New York athlete over the last 50 years. So there's some select company there. But if we told you Jeter was ahead of you, would you have been like, this is BS. Derek Jeter, my ass.
No, I would not have been mad. Absolutely not. Great player. Hey, how about Reggie Jackson? You know, I mean, if you were listening, how about, it's just so many basketball players, football players. I mean, I'm elated to own the city now. What you trying to tell me? I own the city.
That's
right.
Re-owning the city, Lawrence. Lawrence, when you got, I mean, you're from North Carolina. I know you wanted to play baseball when you were.
I'm from Virginia, thank you.
Virginia. Oh, that's right. You went to North Carolina. Yeah, you're from Virginia like me, but you went to school in North Carolina. But coming to New York, I remember when I came to New York, I was scared. Right? I didn't know what to expect up here. But when you got drafted to New York, what was your like emotion before you got here? And then after you got here, what was it like?
I mean, yo, hey. New York is a scary place, man. I'm telling you, it's a scary place when you come out. Hey, boy! Until I learned, you know, the hookers by name, I couldn't.
You did not feel comfortable. No. How many years did that take you, by the way?
It took me about at least 3 weeks. Okay. I've been playing, guys. Okay. You know what? But I tell you, great place to play. You know what? And like I say, when I came to New York, I didn't really know a lot about New York because I was like, you know, Washington Redskins, Dallas Cowboy fan and stuff. When I came to New York, it was like, whew. Yeah. They don't bull up there.
Right. But they grew to love you like real quick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, I look back on it now and I don't think I could have gone to any other place other than New York to do the stuff I've did and be the person I am and be at 65 now and humbled. Right. You know, so I'm good.
Yes. Well, congratulations. This was well-deserved. This whole list, which has come out over the last few weeks, caused a lot of controversy. But you know what didn't cause controversy? You being number one. So congratulations, and we appreciate you accepting this award. You're going to get a statue. We're going to send it to you. It probably takes 6 to 8 weeks. Okay?
Oh, that's all I need is another trophy, bro.
Love it, LT. Appreciate you, brother, man.
Thank you, LT.
Well. All right, buddy. Be safe. Thank you, guys, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Much, okay.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is number one and deservedly so.
He is the best.
And he's a character, Lawrence Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't your daughter named after him, Sean?
Yeah, yes, and my middle name I'm named after him.
Did you tell him? Did you get to speak to him off air at all, Sean, and tell
him
that?
I met him in person with my daughter. Took a nice picture.
And you said to him, she's named after you.
Yeah.
What did he say?
What were you thinking?
That's tremendous.
All right, how many times did you dump him, Loogie?
3, so we hit the over.
Nice.
Yeah.
You didn't dump the hookers thing, though.
No.
Hookers made it through.
Oh. I dumped BS, MF-er, and threw another one in there. Oh, an S-word.
You know the reason they have that extended dump session here at WFAN Odyssey is because when BT and I were on the national show,
right,
we had Lawrence, and it filled up. Sure, so we're like, we need to add to this just in case.
I'm sure it did.
Lawrence is the man.
Well, congratulations to Lawrence.
All right, how many times did you dump him, Loogie?
3, so we hit the over.
Nice.
Yeah.
You didn't dump the hookers thing, though.
No,
right?
Hookers
made it through.
Oh. I dumped BS, MF-er, and threw another one in there. Oh, an S-word.
You know the reason they have that extended dump session here at WFAN Odyssey is because when BT and I were on the national show,
right,
we had Lawrence, and it filled up. Sure, so we're like, yeah, we need to add to this just in case.
I'm sure it did.
Lawrence is the man.
Well, congratulations, Lawrence. We'll come back, get to more of your phone calls at 877-337-6666, including the controversy from this list. And what Tiki said at the top of the show, if you missed it, you can rewind to 2 o'clock. He knows what he wants the Giants to do, and it's a doozy in the first round. I know what I want the Jets to do, and that's offensive line. Your thoughts, 877-337-6666. Yankees play in a couple of hours, game three of their four-game series against Oakland. They exploded briefly last night offensively. Aaron Judge woke up. The Mets are playing this afternoon against the San Francisco Giants. Blake Snell was supposed to start for the Giants. He got scratched, so it's a bullpen game, and so far, so good. Francisco Lindor hit a two-run home run from the left side of the plate. Tyrone Taylor hit a solo home run, and the Mets lead the Giants 3-0 in the fourth inning in a game that is pretty important in my eyes. Now, before we get back to your calls, I try not to be overly sensitive to things that don't matter. But I admit, sometimes things that don't matter will get to me. So social media posts never usually get to me.
Okay.
At the end of the day, who cares? Like, even the other day, Sean was bringing up the Carolina Hurricanes trolling social media account. And I'm like, you know what? F them. They're up 2-0. Who cares what the Carolina Hurricanes say on social media? But there was something yesterday that bothered me. The New York Jets, the team I love so dearly, the team I'm wearing a headband of right now. How do I look in the headband? Pretty good?
Fantastic. I love that headband.
Thank you. I'm the only Jet that wears headbands now. But the New York Jets Twitter account decided to say thank you to Zach Wilson. What? And that bothered me.
Well, like, I mean, he's a former player, former high draft round pick. I mean, what's wrong with that?
He's a bust. He's a draft bust. What are we thanking him for? Like, seriously, what are we thanking him for? Don't you have to do something to get a thank you? Like, what are we thanking him for? Like, seriously, answer the question. What are we thanking him for?
Putting in the hard work, coming to work every day, not being, I don't know, agitated by the negativity, being a good teammate. Thank you, Zach.
You're missing the obvious one, Evan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Without Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers is not a Jet.
He's not necessary. You're right.
What?
For being so bad that you brought us Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. So we have to thank him for being bad.
Yeah.
So the thank you is, hey, thank you, Zach Wilson. We drafted you really high and you suck. Thank you for that. Because if that doesn't happen and you're just mediocre, we don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. And also, thank you for almost beating the Chiefs.
No. See, now, you're just being sarcastic. I thought you were giving me a real answer. I don't think that everyone needs to get a thank you. I'm sorry. Like, I'm a big thank you kind of guy. I like to have some class, some decorum, but why do we have to say anything? Like, I'm not saying kick them on the way out. I'm not suggesting that they should play, you know, highlight videos of Zach Wilson bouncing screen passes in the dirt or any such thing, but I don't necessarily think he deserves a thank you. And that kind of bothered me. But it also got me thinking. In my fandom as a New York Jet fan, Zach Wilson is on the Mount Rushmore of draft busts. I would certainly say so.
Of the Jets or of the league?
No, of the Jets.
Okay.
Forget the league.
I was going to say, he's a long way from that.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you, and we touched on this earlier, like, what is a draft bust? You know, like, do you have to be selected really high to be a draft bust?
Yeah, you probably got to be top 5 to 10, and I'd say top 5.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't be picked 15 and be a draft bust?
No, because it's just... Just look at where the league values that position now. So outside of the top 10, you're not like your fifth year option is not the franchise tag. It's a smaller percentage of it. So if you're top 10, I'd say if you stink, you're bust material. Definitely if you're top 5.
Yeah,
if you're number one.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's all first-round picks. I disagree. I think if you're a first-round pick by a team, you come in with a level of hype. Now, obviously, being number two is very different than being number 17, so right. It's on different levels. And I also think it's what you expected from someone. So when I was thinking about my Mount Rushmore of Jet Bus, one of the names that popped into my head, and I admit I ended up not putting him there, but I thought about it, was Christian Hackenberg, because Christian Hackenberg never played.
But he was a second-round pick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The second-round pick gave me pause. And here's the other thing about Zach Wilson. I can't believe I'm sort of complimenting him. There are moments when I squint my eyes and I can see Zach Wilson do something productive.
Mm-hmm.
there was nothing productive that Christian Hackenberg ever did. Because he never played.
Right, he never got a chance, never got an opportunity. So you can call him a bust, even if you're going to include the second round. But was he really? Or he just couldn't get on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a bust, but I think it's a different level because he wasn't that premium first-round pick.
Right.
But then I thought of other guys in history, like Johnny Lamb Jones or Roger Vick or Kyle Brady. And then I thought of more recent guys like Dean Milner. I mean, Dean Milner sucked. Mm. Oh, my God, was he horrible. Blair Thomas. But then I get to the guy who I think wins it, who I think actually wins it, who is my George Washington of jet busts. And by the way, Zach Wilson is honorable mention. Again, he's on my Mount Rushmore. I just don't think he's number one.
Yeah.
You know who's number one?
Tell me.
Vernon Golston. Mm. Number one.
Thought he was
going to
be Strahan.
That's my number one guy. They thought he was going to be Strahan.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in the combine. And I'm not kidding you. You talk about someone that did nothing. Like, again, Zach Wilson, you squint your eyes. There are moments where you could say, oh, there's a little promise.
Right, and there were some games that he won.
There's nothing from Vernon Golston.
So who's your four then?
So it's Zach Wilson.
Zach Golston.
It's Vernon Golston. It's Dwayne Robertson, and it's D. Milner. And the reason Dwayne I don't include Vic and Johnny Lamb Jones is because I didn't experience it. So I'm being kind of more to my generation of fans.
I don't remember Dwayne Robertson.
Dwayne Robertson?
Robertson.
Yeah, he sucked.
Would you take him like third or second or something like that? Was he? He was top five.
Yeah.
Fourth overall 2003.
That's what I'm saying. That's why, like.
I should have known that.
I'm not defending Zach Wilson by any stretch. He is a bust. But I do not put him in the, I don't put him number one. He just missed the cut. Now, would I put him ahead of Geno Smith in terms of bust? Another second-round pick? Absolutely. And I think a part of that's expectations. Do I put him ahead of Sam Darnold? Yeah, I do. You want to know why? Even though I had more hype for Sam Darnold than I had Zach Wilson, I'll tell you why. I think with Sam Darnold, I can actually look at the excuses that are being laid out for Zach Wilson, and they're real with Sam Darnold. They're real. I think his coaching was worse. I think his talent was worse. I think everything around Sam sucked so much more than Zach Wilson. Adam Gase, mic drop moment. So I could explain away Sam, even though it didn't work in Carolina, and now he's basically a backup. I could explain away Sam, and that's a part of why I'm actually annoyed when I hear the defense of Zach Wilson from guys like Peyton Manning. Now, first of all, Peyton Manning, with all due respect, shut your freaking mouth when it's about my team. Like, literally. If there's one guy.
You're still bitter because he gave you Adam Gase?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Is that okay?
Or influenced Woody to get Adam Gase?
I just think Peyton Manning needs to do something really important for me and for this community. And I think Peyton Manning's a really talented guy, and I think the Manning cast can be entertaining, and I have great respect for what he's done in his career. I think Peyton Manning needs to keep our team's name out his effing mouth because he's got no credibility.
What did he say about Zach?
He said, oh, you know, Zach, it was a tough spot. You know, you're setting up a quarterback to fail when you have so many offensive coordinators. Hold on a second, Peyton. He had two offensive coordinators.
Right, that's not what it was.
Okay, pipe the freak down. Yeah, and one of those offensive coordinators is Tiki's friend. Right. All right?
But it wasn't the coordinators that was the problem.
What was the problem?
Lack of an offensive line.
Okay.
And then his inability.
Thank you.
Inability to do the simple thing.
Yeah. We live in a culture in 2024 where it's always about excuse making. It's always about, this sucked, but here's why. It's someone else's fault. Sometimes it's your own fault. Sometimes it's the individual. Like, not every situation is perfect. Not every quarterback goes into a perfect situation. Because for every argument you make about this was unfair to Zach Wilson, the guy had Garrett Wilson he was throwing the ball to. Is that unfair?
No.
Who was Sam Darnold's best wide receiver?
Right. Why was Peyton commenting on him? Because he's now in Denver?
Because he likes to stick his nose in our freaking business, and he needs to stop.
I don't think he involuntarily was opining about Zach Wilson.
Well, because Zach's a Bronco.
He was likely asked the question.
Yeah, because Zach's a Bronco, so now it's his boy. He wants to make every excuse for why he's going to be good. Trust me, Peyton, spoiler alert. Much like your opinions on head coaches, he's going to suck in Denver.
Yeah, but
I don't care how smart you think Sean Payton is.
But does it matter that he's going to be good? It doesn't matter if he's good or not.
It doesn't matter to me, but it matters.
I don't think it matters to the NFL if Zach Wilson is good or not.
No, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is Peyton Manning. He's just got to stop. Like, this guy forced Adam Gase on us. because Christopher Johnson doesn't know anything about sports. And so he got bullied by Peyton Manning. Because Adam Gase made a good cup of coffee for him once. So he's like, oh, I got to get Adam Gase a job.
And this is when Woody was in the UK.
That's right. Right. That's why it was Christopher's fault.
Got it.
I differentiate between the Johnsons.
I know you do.
So
that was specific.
I'm so done. I'm done with Peyton Manning. I'm done with this guy. He didn't want to be a Jet in 1997.
Get off Peyton Manning.
No. Get off me. How about he gets off us? Why does he have to continue
to ask the question about Zach Wilson?
And you know what? Who cares what this guy says anymore?
Nah, he knows more about quarterbacking than you have. Got to be fair.
I'm not saying he doesn't know more about quarterbacking. I'm saying he knows nothing about the Jets. All he does is ruin the Jets.
He doesn't care about the Jets. And what is him talking about your former Jet have to do with the Jets?
Because he gave us Adam Gase. Can't stand
Peyton. Why are you going to talk about old stuff?
Will you apologize to Peyton if Zach Wilson takes off in Denver?
No. Mm-hmm. You know what I would do if he takes off in Denver? You know what I would do? Watch this. It's about individual responsibility. I give credit to Zach Wilson. I would say that maybe the kid grew up. You know why Geno Smith turned into a good quarterback? Ask him.
No, he actually had bad
Because he grew up.
No, he actually had bad coordinators.
He did, but Geno also admitted he needed the life experience and the failures.
Of course, but he also had a bad coordinator.
Tiki, I agree with you, he had bad coordinators. And I'm not saying LaFleur was some kind of genius. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that personal responsibility matters.
I don't think LaFleur, in theory, was a bad coordinator. I think LaFleur didn't know how to develop a young player. And so Zach was in a lose-lose situation. Young coordinator, young quarterback. With a non-offensive head coach, right? You have a defensive head coach, and so there's no catch. There's no catch-all. Like if something goes wrong, it's like here are you two kids playing in the sandbox with no direction, and so it fell apart. And so he never developed. And you try to salvage it with Aaron Rodgers coming in, but we know that didn't work. So you were hopeless. You had to move on from him. And now he gets a fresh start. Maybe it works. Who knows?
It's not going to work, Tiki.
I don't think so either, but I don't know.
Okay. I know.
I don't know.
It's not going to work. And if it does, yes. Will I come on the radio and say I was wrong? Yeah, but I think it would have more to do with the kid figuring it out. That's why, like, I give a lot of credit to Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Geno Smith has said it, and it wasn't just his time with the New York Jets. It was his time with the Giants. It was his time, I think, with another. Didn't he bounce around before he even got to Seattle? Like, he was with numerous other teams.
The Chargers. Yeah,
I think he was there briefly, too. Like, he needed that. And to Geno's credit, like, I've got great respect for him. Like, he turned himself into a suitable NFL quarterback. Anyhow, back to your calls. It's been a very controversial day today. James is in West Islip. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So before I get to my point, Eli Manning was drafted by the San Diego Chargers.
I agree.
Now, thank you. It is. I have my master's in sports management, and it's taught in school about the Eli Manning disaster. It's taught he's a San Diego Charger. But moving on, I think that the fans are always going to pick Ewing over Jeter, and rightfully deserved, because Jeter's legacy doesn't extend out of the tri-state area. There's no kids idolizing Derek Jeter in Arizona. I mean, maybe a couple of retirement homes down in Florida. But Patrick Ewing was a national legacy. I mean, he clearly should be the number two pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting take on that, James, but I think that's the sports issue, right? The baseball is feels regional. Like, there's certain places in the country where you just love baseball. There's other places where you just don't give a crap.
Mm.
Whereas if you're a star basketball player, like, the nation will know you.
Well,
it's just a little different.
He's right, but there's nobody in Arizona that was idolizing Patrick Ewing.
No, I don't think so either. But
see, he didn't use the
mostly
best.
East Coast. Most maybe on the East Coast.
Yeah,
there's some idolization, regardless of what team he was on, for Patrick Ewing.
Yeah,
but I don't think out west.
He left out the best argument. This is your mic drop moment on why Patrick Ewing, rightfully so, was ahead of Derek Jeter on the New York Top 20. Patrick Ewing was in Space Jam. What motion picture did Derek Jeter do?
The Other Guys. With Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. Great movie.
He was in that?
Buddy comedy, right? That's what it's called, The Other Guys?
And Seinfeld.
What did he do in the Other Guys?
I'll give away the plot if I say what he did.
Seinfeld's the man. Yeah,
Seinfeld's more important than Space Jam.
Danny Tartable was in Seinfeld. That doesn't really matter. I love Seinfeld.
It's more the connection that they did to New York. It was such a New York show, Seinfeld. It's one of the great shows of all time. I'm putting it down.
It was filmed in L.A.?
Yeah, it's a New York show. Everything about... Dude, they did an episode. This is all you need to know about it being a New York show. They did an episode about how long it takes to get to Kennedy and LaGuardia. That's a New York show. That show is built for us. It's why we as New Yorkers love the show. I don't know what people think about Seinfeld in Montana. Maybe it's just, yeah, it was all right. But that was a show that had a deep connection to us. So,
yeah, you don't relate to apartment living and all that other
no,
stuff.
No,
yeah,
you're right. And Loogie's right. Danny Tartable was on Seinfeld. So right. I can't... The Yankees were on Seinfeld. George Steinbrenner was a fake character.
Sean Bradley was in Space Jam.
So what does that mean? Why are you disrespecting Sean Bradley? He was in a horrible accident recently. You know that, right?
Okay, but that was recently.
We're talking about his playing career.
30 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, but I meant for him to disrespect Sean Bradley is just in bad taste.
You're doing it because he played for the Nets?
No, I didn't even like him as a Net. I just respect...
It's about his playing career. Yeah. Not all superstars were in Space Jam.
Are you saying Patrick Ewing was not a superstar?
By the way, this has made it seem like I'm anti-Patrick Ewing as an awesome NBA player.
Well, it seems like you are.
Yet the arguments you keep making to besmirch Derek Jeter have gotten outrageous.
I'm not besmirching Derek Jeter.
You're a besmircher.
First of all, the committee got it right, or at least the voters got it right, and ChatGPT agrees.
You haven't gotten what that is right all day. It's been chat, it's been chat, it's GPT.
Well, what is it called? Chat?
ChatGPT.
What does that stand for, GPT?
General Prognosis Translator.
Are you serious?
Sounds right.
I have no idea.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.